Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We are rocking through a Friday. WTIC 860-522-9842. State Senator Rob Sampson joins us. He's a busy COVID customer. What's going on, Rob?
Good afternoon, Todd. Glad to join you.
Well, it's nice to be joined by you. We don't hear much from politicians these days, so it's good that you you take a break from the busy schedule and talk a little bit about what you're doing. I know you've written a column, but I haven't had a chance to read it yet. Tell us about it.
Well, the column I put out today is in regards to the upcoming special session that is planned for next week for the House and I believe the following week for the state Senate. And I've got grave concerns about it because this is the first time the legislature is going to go back in to session and do its business in a long, long time since before all this COVID business. And I'm afraid we're not going to address the things that are truly important, and instead this is going to be used more for political purposes than anything else. The number one thing that I'm concerned with is that the one bill that we all agree needs to happen is a bill that will allow people to vote based on their fear of COVID via absentee ballot. Something totally different, of course, than what the Secretary of State and the governor have done by mailing out all of these absentee ballot applications, which is a complete and utter mess. I'm sure you've been talking about it on the air.
Well, not a ton, but it certainly deserves attention. It's just hard to a lot of this stuff is hard to really, get people excited about because there's not a political debate. We're in this comorbidity kind of environment where the political parties have gone silent. There is no political debate. The governor is the king. He just does what he wants to do, and he doesn't necessarily confess most of what he's up to.
Right. I'm disappointed, as I'm sure a lot of your listeners are, that the Republican Party does not seem to be being willing to put up much of a fight. And
well, how would that happen right now? You know, with the leadership in both the House and Senate retiring, with Len Fasano leaving and you know, also the minority leader on the other side. I mean, it just doesn't. It doesn't
right.
leave much in terms of generals to lead the troops.
I completely agree. I have done my best to remain vocal and engaging the public on all of the issues of the day and trying even to take the hardest issues head on. I've been out there on Black Lives Matter. I've been out there on the Columbus statues. The other night I had my dear friend Senator Joe Markley and I, we did a Facebook Live to tackle America past and present, to kind of set the record straight about the founders of this great country and slavery and everything else, because I think that that's what's, you know, being lost in the debate today. I was listening to you and
well, that's what was lost first, right? That's what was lost first, and that allows people to be swept away by the emotions of the moment without any historical context. So it's good that you and Joe do something where you can build that context for people back so they can understand where we stand.
Right. Well, I mean, it's no secret that the liberal left in this country has been actively engaged in controlling education, entertainment, the media, politics for a long, long time and trying to set the narrative and essentially dumbing down the public's knowledge of history and particularly our history as a country and what even the notion of being an American is. And I think that's what this election is going to be about. And I'm doing my best to restore that knowledge any which way possible. The concern I have is that the country is so divided along tribal lines. You know, I write about this on a regular basis too, which is that, you know, Donald Trump is a polarizing figure. People either love him or hate him. And that's dangerous because people, what they should be doing is analyzing Trump's individual actions and measuring each one of those on its merit instead of just simply following him as their party leader and candidate, no questions asked, or hating him for the exact opposite reasons. And the same thing
I'm not sure if he's the polarizing figure or if the media is the way the media is driven today. It's fueled by the need for that kind of visceral response from people when they even hear a name mentioned, that they thrive on divisiveness and they create these characters. They make them. Trump, yes, he's very boldly himself, but boy, do they spend every second of every day being shocked anew over the most mundane of his actions. And it's an incredible thing to watch what gets lost when the media obsesses so over the irrelevant.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's the fault of the news media more than any other source for taking our country and dividing us down the middle. The politicians on both sides of the aisle certainly help that. But that's part of the game. That's the way it's supposed to be for politicians. It's the news media that is supposed to, you know, take what the politicians say and parse it into facts and report it fairly, you know, so those consumers of the news media can actually get some truth out of it. And they fail in that regard because they're even more divisive and hateful and, you know, have picked a side even more than the politicians have.
We're talking to State Senator Rob Sampson from Wilkett. We'll just do a quick weather forecast and get back to the conversation. If you want to ask a question or otherwise engage, 860-522-9842. Okay, Rob, so back to the column. Why did you write a column? What did you fill that with? Is this column giving the context for people to not lose sight of the moment we're in and what country we're from?
Absolutely correct. My main concern is I don't want people to take their eye off the ball when it comes to what we vote on, because I believe the whole special session is a setup. I started mentioning a few minutes ago that I think universally the public, Democrats and Republicans and elected leaders in this state all agree that we need to modify our laws to allow people a safe way to vote because of COVID-19. The problem I have is that when we get into session, there's not going to be a simple up or down vote to do that. What's going to happen is the Democrats are going to take that bill and they're going to fill it with a whole bunch of their longstanding agenda items to expand no excuse absentee voting. You can vote if you're in line, removing the cross check to make sure that people are not voting more than once, those kind of things, which will leave Republicans in a situation of having to vote against this bill only so that the Democrats can capitalize it come November. I can see the writing on the wall. I can see it happening right now. And that's why I'm trying to make a preemptive, line
to notify people in advance that that's
right.
The game they're playing.
Exactly.
Well, I think it's
not going to do a good enough job of letting people know.
Well, I don't know why you're worried about how active the hibernating bear will be. There's no reason to expect that there'll be much going on. What exactly in how would this mobilization take place? Because the Republican Party appears not to exist right now. What should be going on?
Yeah, Todd, this is my greatest frustration, and I'm always left, in a very tight spot because I don't want to throw stones at my allies and certainly not my own team and my friends for failing to do enough when we have an actual enemy that is trying to move the ball in the opposite direction and damage the state I love and the country I love. But at the same time, if my colleagues, if my friends, my Republicans that I serve with do not speak up, they're letting it happen. And it's a very difficult spot to be in. I'm as loud as any individual person can be in the legislature, which is dangerous. Because when you're the only person speaking up, it's easy to paint you as a crackpot also. So I'm always very careful about that.
Well, that's not the problem for you so much, I don't think, as people saying to you, especially on your team, that, well, that's easy for you, Rob, because you come from a district where people know you and Joe Markley had the seat before you, and they're acclimated to what it means to have somebody representing them who believes in the American system or government. And while that's unusual, they've adapted.
Right. You're absolutely right. I mean, we've talked about this before. The district that I come from was held by a Democrat state representative for four terms before I was elected to the state house. He beat the previous Republican candidate 90% to 10%. So it was a serious uphill battle for me to win that seat. And it was at a very important time in Connecticut's electoral history. It was, the final election for Barack Obama, which I think saw a big, switch for a lot of senior citizen Democrats who finally chose to vote Republican after resisting that temptation for many years. I helped push a lot of those people, over to the Republican side. Mm-hmm. And yes, so my district is safe today, but I will take some credit for that. And I would encourage my colleagues that, the value system that we're fighting for, the American system of government, was good enough to start the Revolutionary War. It's been good enough to run this country and create such prosperity. It ought to be good enough to win elections in any city in the state.
Well, that sounds good enough for me. Rob Sampson is here. He's a state senator from Wolcott. Let's get Mary from Glastonbury in. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
Go ahead, Mayor.
Yes, I'm calling about two things. The first one is that Governor Lamont, even though we've been shut down for months and months and have done a great job of flattening the curve, continues to look at other states to keep us backwards. So we can do whatever we do to make everything great, but it doesn't matter because there's outbreaks.
Why is that?
Because there's outbreaks in other states, Florida, Texas, California, but they're not here. Mm-hmm. So tell me why we're being punished for what's happening in other states. That's the first thing.
Being punished how? By, you mean, because he's
not
still got the shutdown going?
Faced, whatever. I mean, it's just, we're not moving
forward.
Well,
I think that's what, there's a political angle here. That's what we're talking about with Rob Sampson, and I'll get his opinion on this in a second, but I think the preference of the governor is to not take his foot off the gas of shutdown. I think he prefers the shutdown and wants to elongate it as much as possible for some of the political benefits that Rob Sampson is describing. What's your second point?
My second point is, I just found this out today, that Bill de Blasio's name wasn't Bill de Blasio years ago. It was Warren Wilhelm Jr., and I want to know why it's never been in the press or on the news, even when he was running for president. He has quite a history.
Yeah, I forget if I knew that. It sounds a little familiar, but I don't remember what the reason is. So
Warren Wilhelm Jr., that was his name.
Is that, Mike, is that false? I'm just asking my producer because he sent me a link on Snopes. And Snopes
It is true, but it was in the press. It was the first I've ever heard of it, but the Snopes thing does say it is true. I guess he changed his name. He had a bad relationship with his father, who ended up committing suicide.
I know that that's true, but I also know that he's a socialist communist, and he has been for years and years.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yes, well, I think everybody knows that. All right, Mary, I'm going to hold you right there. Thank you for the call. We'll get some reaction from Rob Sampson. Rob, thoughts on did I answer Mary in a way that matches up with your feelings?
Pretty much, yes. I think what the governor is doing is he is using the fact that right now the state of Connecticut appears to be doing well with COVID simply as a political hammer to beat up on Republican governors across the country, just like the news media is, even though I don't think that's based on any reality. All that's happening is that there's a lot more testing going on now than there was back when Connecticut was, affected. And we're seeing more cases being counted in other states, not necessarily more deaths or, a real significant impact. And, of course, obviously, it's just fodder for the news media to attack Republicans.
Okay, we've got, we've got no time left. So let me thank you for coming on. If you have something more that you need to convey, you can stay and we can talk more after news. It's up to you. But, yes.
Yeah, no, Todd, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I just want people to make sure that they're watching the news very closely when this upcoming special session occurs and not just take the talking points for granted. I'm very wary of that bill and also the police accountability bill, which is being debated in a kind of a phony listening session, fake public hearing today.
All right, Rob, I'll let you go then, and I thank you for being here. Rob Sampson, State Senator Wolcott. We'll talk to you again soon.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.